This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Shariz Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning on Monday, the 24th of June. And in case you don't remember, here's how US markets closed on Friday. The Dow and the S&P 500 were down about 0.1% and the Nasdaq closed down 0.2%. On a week's basis, all three benchmarks closed up, though the S&P was up 1.6% for the week, while the Dow and the Nasdaq were up about 2.5%.
Yeah, on top of that, central bank across the globe have been looking more dovish, and this has reinvigorated the market, particularly after the Fed dropped its patient stance. Now, moving on to some of the international headlines, among them is in the business world that caught our eye was this one out of Bloomberg. Now, the world's biggest luxury car maker has issued another profit warning. Daimler has cut its profit forecast for the third time this year, and this time blaming the burden of handling long-standing proceeding around the diesel emission. And this comes a month after new leadership has taken place.
Yeah, the German manufacturer is facing investigations in Europe and the US over allegedly excessive pollution from its diesel vehicles. German authorities last year slapped Daimler with recalls and the company agreed to software upgrades for millions of cars in Europe. And so far, Daimler has escaped fines. But the company has boosted provisions to deal with the governmental proceedings and diesel measures by a high three-digit million euro a month. And according to the company, this will cut Daimler's full-year profit forecast to the level with last year.
And this was after, as well, initially targeting slightly higher earnings in 2019. The automakers already warned of an extremely challenging business environment amid trade woes, as well as slowing economic growth. In other international headlines as well, Turkish opposition candidate Ekrem İmamoğlu won the redo of the Istanbul mayoral race by a landslide on Sunday in what can be considered a slap in the face to President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's economic policies, as well as his refusal to accept an earlier defeat. İmamoğlu was backed by opposition parties, including the CHP, and he won 54% of the vote. And the ruling AK Party's candidate, so who's a former prime minister himself, Binali Yildirim, captured about 45%, according to state media.
Yeah, so it's if that's not a clear sign, you know, for the voters in Turkey or Istanbul, I don't know what is. So among some of the concerns that were, you know, that was raised is that there is that Turkey's crumbling democratic foundation, as well as, of course, what everybody's speaking about is the economy, consumer prices and unemployment level has been, quite high.
Yeah, the lira has been very volatile in the last few months. Every time there's some negative news, but the lira actually ran up on news like this, and the margin was enormous when you think about it. He won by 800,000 votes from 14,000 in March 31st balloting. This is a good sign for Turkey, perhaps. It renews confidence that democracy is alive in this country.
I think overall, in terms of the last elections that took place in Turkey, the AK Party still did come out on top overall. But why Istanbul is so important is there's a saying in Turkey is that whoever wins Istanbul wins the country. So that's why the race for the Istanbul mayor position has been so fraught. But it's probably not going to be all smooth sailing from here on, because Erdogan has hinted that while he's accepted the result of the redo of the election, Ekrem İmamoğlu may face some legal challenges going forward as well. Now, anyway, give us a bit of insight into how the global markets have performed. We have on the line Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Sydney, for his take on global markets to start your day. Thank you for joining us, Kingsley. Now, after the Federal Reserve signaled a willingness to raise rates by removing the word patience from the interest rate policy, among almost every asset class, both risk-off and risk-on picks have rallied. Why is this the case, and do you think that this is sustainable?
Our take on the Federal Reserve language is that they're really preparing the market for more abrupt policy changes going forward that may even be larger than the minimum 25 basis point move. For many years, the Fed was at pains to signal a gradual change as a no-surprise philosophy. However, there's smaller room for error now, and we're seeing central banks globally in search of a new neutral. The RBA, of course, in Australia recently lowered rate, and many in the market, including ourselves, consider a neutral level for interest rates to be lower than we thought previously. 10-year US bond really struggled above 3%, and therefore we're seeing bond markets rally now as investors reprice for lower interest rates going forward.
And what are your expectations for Federal Reserve rate cuts for 2019? I mean, Fed futures are pricing in a cut for the July meeting, but do you think that there will be more cuts, and is that enough, you know, for offset concerns over inflation and somewhat, you know, mixed manufacturing data in the US?
Our views are shifting towards two rate cuts this year. I mean, the last few US employment reports were softer than expected, and the trade war looks set to drag on. Of course, we're waiting to see what happens with the side meeting between Xi and Trump at the G20. But while the US markets tend to do well going into a presidential election, you know, there's a real or potential drag on the economy from the trade war and also events in the Middle East and a higher oil price. So such heightened uncertainty is pretty bad for business confidence, and we may actually see the Fed loosen off the back of that to firm up business conditions.
And oil jumped up 6% last week on the back of geopolitical tensions. Do you think this is the only reason that oil prices have appreciated?
Well, I think it's the main reason. Oil was weaker previously due to excess supply fears and also the risk of a weakening global economy. I think we're seeing a floor in the oil market now simply due to the supply interruption risk. And, you know, the big standout for us was the rally in gold that suggests that investors are becoming more cautious about the risk of a conflict in the Middle East. And we well understand that that could put oil supply at severe risk and therefore a spike in the oil price. In these circumstances, I think that investors are probably going to get a little bit more defensive. They'll probably move into assets, real estate, utilities, and maybe even continue to buy bonds. Certainly, we're looking at buying defensive assets at this time.
Thank you so much, Kingsley. And that was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Sydney, expecting investors to be more defensive in the near term. And I think it's reflected as well in gold prices, right? Because gold is the safe haven asset, and that's gone up to...
above 1370. Which was their resistance level, hitting, I think, almost 1,400.
Yeah, it was definitely almost at 1,400, I think, last week.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's really something to look into. I mean, the political tension that's happening around the Middle East, especially when that particular area is supplying around, I think, I've been hearing over the weekend, about 30% of the global supply. So imagine if something does happen in the Middle East, what sort of disruption we'll be looking into.
But it'll be interesting to also see what happens at the OPEC meeting. As far as I understand, they have not even set a date, and they're supposed to actually decide on the production figures for each OPEC member for the second half of the year. And that's gone quite quiet, which probably explains why oil prices have also rallied aside from the geopolitical tensions.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.